This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. Like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up. Get on up.
GetUpTonightInTheGame.com. It is Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. until 9. It's football season, so we acquiesce to what's coming up here later on in the day. But we want you guys to join us, and hopefully we will touch on some subjects and start your day off just properly. And I am just so happy to be able to talk and not hear what I said a second ago. I may just keep going, Sam. Anyway, you can also check us out on the radio.com app. It is Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Don't just feel nice. Let's just start the show off by thanking Ken.
How about that?
The work he did
big
last
change
week.
From last week.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Anyway, man, we start the show off and just hope that you guys had a pretty good week, a very good week, as a matter of fact, and lots of sports to talk about. And
this week we had a lot of water come through town this week.
Hey, you know what listen, I mean? You just took the words out of my mouth. I was just about to let you know. Unfortunately for you, I'm hearing it outside my window right now.
Are you serious?
That means, man, I'm hearing something. It sounds like rain. It's either rain or wind outside
wind.
Here.
I don't think.
Maybe the rock just woke up. I don't know. Maybe he's up doing his exercises, blowing the trees all around. You know, he's around the corner over here. But normally this is what I do. I let you know, and you got 20. Of course, you're not going no place at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, no. No.
So.
But it's just, that's the thing. But we had a lot of rain, and it left. It changed. All of a sudden, we got fall. You know?
Yeah, man.
All of a sudden, it feels like fall. And I was just telling you, we were talking a minute ago off air. I said, this is great tennis weather. I can go out and play tennis 3 hours in this. That other stuff with the high humidity in the 90s, about 45 minutes. But this is great outside.
Is that the game where you're playing doubles and you get about halfway through the second set and you look across everybody, ooh, I think I just tweaked my hamstring.
Yeah, something. You know what I mean? Okay, get in out of this heat, man. But
well,
this feels great outside.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. We're, like I said, just getting started here. And even though he well, we're going to bring Ken in at some point during the show because we got to get.
Oh, absolutely.
So we got to, even though he, not necessarily, because the SEC doesn't start playing college football until next week. So even though he's going to be our go-to person for all things SEC, especially Georgia Bulldogs, but he has got many opinions on many things. So we'll be bringing Ken in at some point during the show. Quick rundown of what we got coming up here. We're going to talk about, obviously, the usual suspects, but joining us this morning, I mean, this dude should be in the big room in Vegas. He no longer work in the lounge. He should be in the big room opening up for who's going to Vegas next? Somebody I just heard is going to Vegas that I didn't think is going to do a residency.
Really?
But you got to have a big catalog, obviously. But I'm trying definitely. To think of who it is. Oh, it'll slip my tongue. But anyway, Chris Mahler from Saturday Down South is going to join us, who also not only has knowledge of everything having to do with college football, does stand-up. So we're going to have Chris join us at 7:20. And then coming up at 8:20, before we turn things over to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, we're going to talk about the Falcons matchup today. We'll be talking about it throughout the show, but we're going to talk about it with Laura Harris. Laura is she works at the Dallas affiliate, NBC affiliate, and just in tune with everything that's going on with the Cowboys. She used to be up for here, though, right, Sam?
But she's from here, so she's a Falcons fan out in Jerry World. And just to get her perspective on all of it, I think will be interesting this morning to hear how she feels about her hometown team coming to play out in Dallas and the Cowboys and all the talk about Jerry Jones, you know, when he was quiet this summer, not saying too much,
Right.
The big deal is this week is how many fans they're letting in. They say it should be, 20,000, but they think it's going to be more than that. So we should talk about that some today.
Yeah, well, you know, again, we'll see. Man, did you see, speaking of this game, maybe you didn't see it live, but did you see the replay of the show First Take with Stephen A. this past week and what happened when, I think it was Wednesday? The day is irrelevant. But apparently the Falcons sent him a jersey, which he wore on set, because there is no bigger Cowboy hater than Stephen A. Smith. So they said, just to stick the knife in a little bit more to turn it, because, you know, he puts on that cowboy hat and does that, like, a bad dude from Brooklyn doing a Texas accent, which makes it even funnier. But they sent him a Falcons jersey with his name on the back, and he wore it on set.
Wow.
Talking about this upcoming game.
Well, they kind of claim him a little bit. He used to live and work here in Atlanta for a short period of time, but he used to live and work here.
We'll
claim him a little bit.
What he did talk about, because they started giving him a little grief on there on the show, and they brought up, they called him Lemon Pepper Steve. And he said, no, that's not me. Uh-oh. That's Lou. But he went on to admit, I have in the past frequented that place. I have been there, but it's been many, many years.
Yeah. It's back when he was living here. He was doing some work over at Turner for a time here in town. Not a long time, but he did live and work here in Atlanta for a time.
Yeah. Shout out to Magic City.
Shout out to Magic City.
Well, that's what they're talking about. Everybody knows what's up. At some point, we will get into what happened. Speaking of Lou Williams, get into what happened with them Clippers.
Ooh.
And I feel bad. Wow. I don't normally feel bad for people who make more money than all the houses on my block, but I do a little bit for Doc Rivers and the company that he is now keeping. In fact, he's there by himself with the losses that he has incurred, being up 3-1 and having that record that he has because of this Clippers team. So, again, we'll get into that. But this past week, man, what sticks out with you?
It's just a lot of things that happened this week. We're going to get into college football. Chris Marler can't wait, because now we got the Pac-12 and the Big Ten playing football.
Well, scheduling.
This fall. Well, scheduling. I mean, they're going to go ahead and schedule and play. The story continues to be who does play and who doesn't. Positive tests that happened, and we'll talk about a real strange situation. A high school football game that came together on one day notice. I mean, that's where we at. You
what?
Know, things around here. So one day, and they played a game. So I mean,
isn't that kind of what happened with us here at the station with Mike Conti? He got just like a 24-hour or 48-hour notice, and went out.
I think less than that. Because when we went off the air this time last week, we thought
David Archer was talking about everything was good. So we'll talk about that too, and why we tease him, but he continuously proves why the tag that he's got is apropos, man. But I mean, other than the games and things like that, anything else stand out to you this past week? Because I got two.
Okay,
but I just wondered I was curious if they were the same as yours.
Those were the main things. I think the thing sports wise, we have been holding our breath waiting for Cole Hamels, and we got to see him with the Braves this week. I think that was something a lot of baseball head toward the postseason and wanting to see the Braves starting rotation come together. Ian Anderson had a bumpy outing last night, gave up 3 runs, and the Braves lose 7-2. To the Mets, so we kind of watching that to see how he would do, and it, you know, for the first couple innings, okay, and then he hit that. So hopefully he gets to have at least a couple of more starts before the postseason, because I think the Braves have kind of penciled him in as a starter. Braves bats are still good, but man, we got to get a starter that can get past the third inning, and we still
looking
for that consistently. So,
Okay, well, you didn't say what I thought you was going to say, because this is the segment where we talk about things that stood out from this past week. I can't unsee. I can't do it. I can't. I've been trying all week long, and I don't even know what period to put him in with that. Was it back in the Quakers days? I realize style is one of those things you can't really define, but I can't unsee that yellow suit that Cam Newton was wearing post-game. Did you see it?
Oh, good. Yeah.
With the hat?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the envelope has already been wide open with him. He's not pushing back. He has got it wide open. And it seems like He's testing us to see what kind of words and descriptions we can come out with his outfits. That was all well and fine, and I'm sure he's going to continue doing it, you know, but it started in Charlotte, obviously. It might have started at Auburn. I don't know. I don't remember him being that way at Auburn. But every time I see him in one of those outfits, that, you know, like I said, he's right there on the edge. How them folks in South Boston react to that, because they're not the most fascist conscious people there, and they have a way of expressing themselves in a way that he may not be used to. Well, he probably knows of it, but it's unique. Philly got their fans and they got their way of expressing themselves. New Yorkers, obviously, but them dudes in Boston, they got something to say and they don't care. There is no filter in that entire area. And I was
but
just
you know
thinking
what
about
he does that helps him. You know what he does to help all that? He won a game.
That's
and
right.
That's the big deal. And speaking of the Boston people, they're happy because the Celtics got a win last night. So
yes,
know,
they
Boston
did.
Boston folks doing all right. You know, there was that.
No, I was just going to say, do you cringe a little bit when you see Gordon Hayward? You know, the dude was one kind of player coming out. Was it when he was with Utah? And
he's with Utah.
Then he got hurt, and ever since then, I'm just like, you just don't know. I'm always leery about that. Paul George, the same thing. And I don't know if there's any more left of him to just rail on, but we're going to have our thoughts about what happened with him and that chemistry with the Clippers, and it didn't happen. But, yeah, Boston gets the win. Speaking of Boston athletes, what about Big Poppy? Talking about, oh, it's down on the tip of my tongue. I don't think he's asymptomatic, right? But he wasn't sure. But he's got family members that are dealing with it. But I mean, the last 15 months for this dude. First he gets shot, and now he's got to deal with this.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know if you'd heard that news.
Big Poppy. Yeah, I've heard that about him. Heard that about him. He's going to be okay.
And also, at some point, in fact, let's get into this before the end of the hour. We're going to talk about an all-time great from the NFL and here in Atlanta, a couple other stops, and an opportunity that's before him, whether he'll take it or not. But up next, we are going to go around the NFL, give our thoughts on some of the games from last week and what we've got coming up. Just getting started on a Sunday morning. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. It's Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. until 9. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Mr. Crenshaw and I are just getting started. Everything technically is working well. I want to thank you for putting up with us last week and that debacle. It's so, so enjoyable to have things working. Hey, man, listen, at some point you got to do us a favor. Because, see, there were some things we left on the table last week, and I know this was a story still worthy of telling, but there were some things that we wanted to mention. We do it every week, you know, people we lost, unfortunately, things and events that have happened. And when we started last week's show, we were on the heels of losing one of the all-time greats in Major League Baseball, and that's Lou Brock. And I know you had a Lou Brock story, so when we start talking baseball later in the show, will you tell your Lou Brock story?
Sure.
Yeah.
I can do that.
It's still worthy of telling. I mean, it's a connection with you and Lou Brock. So, you know, that's a big thing, I think. I got these notes here of things I wanted to make sure we mentioned that we left on the table from last week. And that was one of Sam's got to tell his Lou Brock story. So, all right, man. Well, listen, where do you want to go as far as, I mean, we're going to talk Falcons throughout the show. Do you want to start there, or there's some other things that happened in the NFL from last week that, you know, still stick out with you?
Yeah, just what we saw. I mean, we were getting ready for the season opener last week, and we were on, and we wanted to see the team come out and move offensively. We saw Todd Gurley doing things, you know, great from the start of the game, and then we went away from seeing him. It's almost like he was invisible in the second half of the game. We fell behind, and we had to throw to try to catch up with the Seattle team, and that's the thing. Secondary had some breakdown moments. And, you know, the thing of it is you got some youth back there. You got some inexperience. You got a first-round draft pick who's back there. He gives you some good things, talking about A.J. Terrell. He gives you some good things, but he's going to make some of those, you know, missteps that a rookie's going to make, especially when you've had no preseason games. And I think that's the thing you had to consider, not only with the Falcons, but with everybody that you saw last Sunday. This is the first real game action for anybody. But Russell Wilson came out, and he looked like he played three or four games. He looked like a veteran.
You know what I mean? Well, no. He played like one of the top players in the league, period. Which he's that, you know, he's like that Jimmy Johnson, that Tim Duncan that we talk about. You know, you want to talk about the shiny bright thing down there in Tampa Bay, or Drew Brees, or Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay, and you forget about this diamond out there in Seattle until games like last week. Meaning Russell Wilson. Yeah,
he shows you why. You know, Seattle year in and year out is there. You forget about how durable he's been. He doesn't miss games. And every week he comes out and he does the thing that gives his team an opportunity to move. Before the game, they talk so much about how the last time he faced the Falcons, he got very few rushing yards. You know, it was strictly throwing. Well, he gave you a good mix last week. And that was the thing that got Seattle to the win. So you saw some things that the Falcons got to shore up this week against Dallas. They got to stop the run today in order to have an opportunity. You can't have Ezekiel Elliott, you know, setting up things for Dak Prescott to move out of the pocket and do things with their receivers. You got to make them do one or the other. And to me, you want to slow down Elliott and dare Dak Prescott to beat you. To me, that's what they need to do today out in Dallas. They need to go out there. The offense needs to go out and kind of do what they do always, finish some drives once again. You know, don't leave points out there. Don't get in the red zone and not get six. Get your 6 points, but find ways to slow down Zeke. To me, that's the key to a win today.
All right. Well, I'm going to be looking at that offense again off the top, because I know we're going to get this deep into the Falcons, but I'll just say it right off the rip. Because last week, what have I been saying since we have been talking about the Falcons? I was going to look at one area, and that was the running game. Yeah, I mean, I can't spread myself out. I don't have enough intelligent eyeballs to look and see. I see this as far as the defense or the linemen or whatever. But I can see the specialty positions on both sides of the ball. So I decided to focus on the offensive side. And I've been saying, wanted to see what Todd Gurley still had. Now, I think he might get 100 yards today. I can say that. I'll say that out loud. But last week, people like me who not really didn't say he couldn't do it, but questioned, wondered what if. You know, what he was going to be like. And obviously, if he's not who he was, what would this Falcons offense look like in total? So a lot of what ifs. And he gave everybody the middle finger last week, including me. I'm going to say it. Right? He gave me the middle. He'd say, all right, yeah, Mr. 6 a.m. to 10. That's why we cut it out. That's why we cut an hour off your show. Yeah, he did. He gave it to everybody last week, and God bless him. 14 carries, as you said. It wasn't he looked as good as he should be expected to look at this point, given the no preseason, given who he is, given the comeback from the injury, all of this stuff put into a blender. I couldn't, you know, expected to see more. I would like to have seen more of him, which means more play calling, but 56 yards, one touchdown, I'm good with that right out of the chute. You were talking about Russell Wilson earlier. He led both not only in passing but also in rushing yards. Yeah. So it just seems like when you get to this team, you know, they're not going to regularly blow you out. They're going to do what they need to do to win. Just enough. It's like the way he runs the ball. He's not trying to be Lamar Jackson. He's not trying to be these guys who'll take it down the field. He gets just far enough, move the chains, maybe a little bit more if he's given the opportunity, and then he turns in, well, to the aforementioned Lou Brock. Does a great baseball slide.
Of course, he's a baseball player.
That's right. And so that works out perfect.
Yeah, it does. Around the league, your homeboys, Chicago, they can start the season 2-0. They got the Giants today. They can start the season 2-0. What about your quarterback last week? Are you sold on Trubisky?
No.
What? He won for you last week.
Yes,
he
did.
He won for you last week.
Well, first of all, you got to stop.
How about some gratitude, man? Gratitude here.
Well, that's two different things. Do I have gratitude? Yes. Am I convinced, or, you know, do I feel comfortable about this going for the next X amount of games? No. Show me. I'm waiting for him to show us. Give us one season where you look like the guy who Matt Nagy and everybody thought was going to be the Bears' savior as far as that position. Because they've been going through dudes going back to Jim McMahon. Okay, so if he's going to be that, let's see some consistency. That's all I'm saying. And they got the Giants at home today. We will see. But what's that, you know, going against an 0-1 team that's still in a rebuilding sort of situation? What happened in a running game last week? You know,
yeah,
what happened?
Really.
With, again, so I don't know yet. I'm not hanging my hat on the Bears yet. I tell you what, the more interesting situation in that NFC North is what's going on in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is going to try and be Superman this year. And again, much like what we were talking about with Todd Gurley, shutting people up, I think this is the year that Aaron Rodgers is going to try his best to shut everybody up.
Yeah, it's personal. It's personal for him. And they have the Lions today. So Packers are going to go 2-0. They'll beat the toothless cat. Don't tell the folks you live with.
They listening. They listening right now, and there goes your Christmas present.
The Lions are the toothless cat, man.
But
they don't bite.
They
don't bite nobody.
They don't bite. Well,
do the Lions bite?
They bite.
Nobody.
Actually, give me a second. They bite the Bears from time to time. Hey, listen, they didn't go 0-16 last year.
No.
So, but what's interesting about that team is you want to see what. Look, I called this a couple weeks prior to it happening, when Arizona let Adrian Peterson go. The first place I said, and I said it out loud in the house here, and I got a skunk eye. I didn't get anybody disagreeing with me, but I got a skunk eye.
Okay.
Because I said the most logical place for him to go for me was to Detroit. A, nobody of playoff caliber level is going to give him a primary running back position. They're just not going to. So you need to put him in a place where he can you want to see what he's got left in the tank. All right. And you want to take some pressure off Matthew Stafford being the only dude on that offense. Because if you don't have any kind of running game, yeah, he's just going to get beat up again. And listen, the guy's coming off injury. You know, just Matthew Stafford has just been he kind of reminds me, without the numbers, of kind of like, you know, that guy who stays in that one city for all those years. And
right.
He had the opportunity. It's almost like, with the exception of what happened this past year and he went to Indianapolis, but it's Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
You know, Phillip Rivers is identified with San Diego. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with spending your whole career in San Diego, California. But there's something to be said for setting up roots, being a part of the community, and having nothing stick to him, all while living in the city of Detroit. Matthew Stafford could have went anywhere else after one of his contracts expired. Teams would have picked him up, but he stayed. Now, it helps for many of those years you had Calvin Johnson there on the, you know, as your
wide
out.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't
enough.
That was a lot of fun. But it didn't get them over the hump. It didn't get them past Green Bay. It didn't get them past Minnesota. Okay, we looked forward to that matchup on Thanksgiving. That's about it.
Yeah, really.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
One other game I want to ask you about
was
Washington. Washington starting the season with a win over Philadelphia after all that organization, the franchise, health issues with the coach, after all that has happened there, for them to start the season off with the win over Philly was one of the more amazing stories of week one to me in the NFL.
Yeah. I don't know why I don't have much of an opinion about it because
Well, after all the stuff that happened, you want to see if there was, you know, if we would see anything different on the field. Now, that was just last week. This week could be different. But for them to start the season off with the win after all that they've been through, they're a team with no nickname. They're the Washington whatchamacallit. And they went first.
Actually,
game.
I think that should be their name. Actually, I think that should be there and put all of that on the front.
The whatchamacallit.
The whatchamacallits.
The whatchamacallit is undefeated. The whatchamacallit is 1-0.
I had two interests in that game. One is seeing Ron Rivera and hopefully, you know, hoping that he gets a win. Because it's bittersweet for me. I love me some Ron Rivera. I don't want that organization to have any success. And I'm in a long line of people who feel that way because of their history. And as long as, you know, Snyder's still at the helm, whatever. But as far as Philadelphia, I don't know how you feel about this. Do you feel like Carson Wentz has been overrated?
I don't know about that. And he does great things regular season. I think people still want to see what he does with them postseason. in Philadelphia. And matter of fact, be healthy when the team gets to the postseason.
Yeah.
So that's the thing I think people watch for him.
I mean, I can't jump in with both feet for all of these teams, but I have some sort of interest with all of them, and I pick and choose, you know, how I watch them because of that. But the other thing about this is, man, we just got through week one. And we've gone through this when we get to week four, and there's teams who have a certain kind of record, and people are walking off the side of the cliff going, oh, this is the end of their season, or they're going to make it to the playoffs, and things get turned around.
Yeah.
So I still think it's way too early to have any kind of intelligent analysis about any of these teams, especially with them not having any preseason.
Right.
And the movement of players and all of this. But one of the things that you had talked about with the Falcons game today, to get ready for that game, is what old Jerry's going to do as far as letting folks in the stadium.
Yeah. You know, he said early on that he was going to have fans in Dallas. Remember, last week I think the only two places were Kansas City and Jacksonville that actually had fans. So Dallas, and that's a massive place he's got out there. And for order for it to look like he's got some fans in there, he's got to let a few folks in to look like there's anybody there at all. So that's right. The question. Then, you know, we're going to talk with Laura Harris a little later on in our show. That's been a big topic of discussion, a big news story, as a matter of fact, not just a sports story, but a news story, considering Texas is one of the states also that have been watching the numbers and trends with the virus. And, you know, how many people do you plan to do we bring in there? You're going to space them out or just what? And so a lot of people are watching to see what they're going to do as an organization hosting a game today with the Falcons. So that's the backdrop.
You know, the other thing we forgot to mention that I wanted to make a point of saying that there's been this I don't even know how to describe them, but there's an all-time great who came back last week, and again, much like we were talking about other players, they're kind of like an oh yeah sir. Last week Ben Roethlisberger reminds you that he's going into the Hall of Fame and that he's back.
One game,
so I hold true to what I said a minute ago. But the fact that, you know, the guy he came into the league with is now retired, meaning Eli Manning. And Roethlisberger went out there, 3 touchdowns, about 230 yards, and showed no remnants of whatever kept, you know, his issues and injuries from last year. So I wanted to get that in there. We're going to talk more.
He's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay healthy.
Yes, he does.
The Steeler defense is back, though.
Yeah. They're the ones that took care of the Giants. Coming up, we're going to talk some NBA and the playoffs. Chris Mahler's going to join us at 7 o'clock hour talking college football. But up next, there's some stuff going on with high school, and an all-time great has an opportunity in front of him to take a job that Sam and I are going to talk about the path that he's on. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. It's Sam and Greg. Mr. Crenshaw.
Yes.
I left here last week, and I told you where I was going. I was dealing with getting the meal together for my birthday.
All yes.
Right? And the whoop-de-doo was going to happen on Sunday, even though it was last Monday. Anyway, so I told you where I was going. They wanted me to make sure publicly that I said hello to you, and they're waiting for you to come down. And that is Herb's Ribs.
Where am I going?
Man, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Right there on Wendy Hill. When you get off of 75, this is about the best way to tell you, but Wendy Hill, as you go west, used to not go into like West Cobb. It used to stop. I think it was Austell Road or South. I can't remember the street.
Somewhere along in there.
Yeah. And it would turn into Macklin. But before you get there, I would say the equivalent of 3-4 miles. Once you go over Atlanta Road, I think it is. Anyway,
okay.
Herb's Ribs is right there on your left-hand side. And the brothers out there... And you call him Lion, like L-I-O-N, Lion.
Okay.
Lion. He got a big old hat, like he just you know, landed here from Montego Bay. Got the dreads underneath him, and he's out there working the smoker, and I mean a big one. And then of course you got the building, which is there. You go in and get this. I'm not getting nothing free for this, by the way. I paid for my ribs. They didn't give me nothing free. Okay, I'm gonna make sure.
Okay.
This is plug Ola and Paola. But I just want you to know, they wanted me to tell you hello.
Cool.
And when are you coming to get your ribs, man?
I may come this week if I go out there and do
it.
You know?
They don't open up until Wednesday or Thursday, I think, and then they go. They're open today.
Okay.
You know? But I'm saying, okay. they wanted me to make sure you go there. And when you go there, as soon as you walk into place, you'll never not come back, because I never walked into a place where when you're standing there looking to make your order, the woman comes out from behind and gives you samples.
Oh, nice.
You see what I'm saying?
No, it's now, like that.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
You're in the right place.
There you go. And it's got that feel. Like there's salons, and then there's barbershops, like Off the Hook.
Okay.
When you walk into Off the Hook, you in a barbershop. This is a rib joint. There's places that sell barbecue, but when you walk into this place, you in a rib joint. So I just want y'all to know. And again, I didn't get nothing free. I pay for my stuff.
You should have. It was your birthday, though. You should have gotten something.
No, because then I wouldn't be able to talk about it on the radio, because that's plug Ola, and then we can end up in somebody's office.
Okay, we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that, man. Listen, we take this time out to let folks know about what's going on with high school, or whether it's a game or some decisions being made. And in a minute, we're going to get into somebody offered a job on the college level who you didn't expect, but you could actually see it happening. But what's up with high school, man?
Man, we had to, like I said, this football season is amazing. And once again, I was at a game Friday night, and it was a senior night. And it was the first home game. And once again, senior night usually is the last home game. But because of the way the schedule is going, and because of the way the season and what's happening all around us, let's honor these seniors right away. And so there they were with the players lined up with the flower to give to their moms, and their dads are out there wearing their jersey numbers. And it was cool to see. But just a sign of the times of what's going on. That was down at Westlake. Went down there. I was really upset down at Westlake. I couldn't get my fish sandwich. Let me explain this to you, Greg. Let me explain this to you. Westlake, I've been down there for years. I've been there covering Pac-Man Jones. I've been there covering Cam Newton. Whenever I've been to Westlake, I know there's a brother over there cooking some fish, and I'm going to get me a fish sandwich before I leave. They've changed everything because of COVID-19.
Right.
All the concessions have to be prepackaged. So my man with the fish cooker wasn't there, so I couldn't get my fish sandwich. As you can tell, I'm not happy about that.
I was going to say, that ruins your day.
Westlake won that game 27-7 final. A couple other finals for you. North Gwinnett beat Parkview. It was a big win for them, 21-0. Grayson's a winner over Collins Hill, 28-7. Marist and Woodward Academy, 23-3. Marist wins that one. Wesleyan over Douglas, 19-7. A couple of wins out in your neck of the woods. Matter of fact, on that same stretch of road, McEachern 49, Marietta 28.
Shout out Lost Mountain.
Okay, and so McEachern plays Hillgrove this week. That's a big game there. But come back further on that road, come back toward the freeway, and that's Osborne High School. Osborne High School beat Forest Park 29-8. Osborne had lost 31 straight games. The Cardinals get the win last week. So whipping them Friday night to Osborne to get the win. But the story of the week to me is a game that came together on one day's notice. Blessed Trinity, defending state champion, Blessed Trinity, they had a positive test, so they had to miss 14 days. They had to miss the first two games. The next week, this past week, they had a game with St. Pius. St. Pius had a player with a positive test. So now they're getting ready to start the season out 0-3 against the coronavirus. Pace Academy is playing Eagles Landing Christian. They're set to play Thursday. Of course, Hurricane Sally comes through that day. We get rain throughout the day, and then the rain tapers off. And they go out and they really play football, but the rain is like, douse the field, unplayable. They cancel the game with Pace Academy. Blessed Trinity folks, Eagles Landing Christian folks, get together on the phone that night. They prepare on Friday for the game. And yesterday at 1:00, Blessed Trinity played Eagles Landing Christian. Blessed Trinity wins the game 38-14. That's the high school football season. It one day to put a game together, and they played yesterday afternoon. So, just some high school thoughts on what happened this week. Yeah.
There you go. You got, that's what Leo got the update there.
Is that kind of year?
But overall, how would you give this high school season as far as, 1-10, where you thought it would be? It's better than you thought it would be. It's worse than, how would you rank this season so far?
I still think there could have been some better parameters, given out, and more people could have started together, because we still got so many teams that haven't played games yet. DeKalb County is still at least a two Fridays away from playing a game. Still. You know, so that's the whole thing. Is you got some playing, but it's going to be that way, Greg, because if you got teams lined up and you got a positive test, you know, all of a sudden you have no game. It seems like a cruel thing to do to the young people who are preparing to play. We got a game, Friday. Whoops, got a phone call, don't get on the bus. But that's kind of the reality of it.
Yeah, nature of the beast.
That's going to be unique to the season. Big game this coming week down south, Georgia, Valdosta against Colquitt County this next Friday night. Don't you want to go to that one? You know, and good luck with limiting the seating and the social distance. You ain't got enough sheriffs in that county to keep folks out of that game. Good luck.
So what you saying? That's all they got down there. They're going to flip their nose up at the virus and just be on top of each other.
Man, hey, like I say, they don't have enough sheriffs to keep folks out of that game down there. That's going to be big.
Are people monitoring?
And we know the reasons. What's that?
Well, I was just going to say, are people monitoring the practices for somebody? I mean, we don't know about all the schools down there, obviously, but there's some big programs down South Georgia. And you wonder if they are being monitored much like the teams are up here. And are they getting the calls and the tests and all of this stuff?
Yeah, they're supposed to monitor the temperatures of all the players, and all of that information is supposed to go to the high school association. It really is. So they're supposed to be daily. But when you come out to the field of practice, daily you get that temperature check, you ask those questions. That's something that everyone is required to do. That is across the board with everybody.
Okay. I'm just saying the key in that sentence of yours is supposed to.
Yeah, well,
because we've been hearing reports from other places, but more on the college level, that's not been the case. So, you know, I'm just asking. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Ken Roundtree is producing for us, doing a great job for us. We're going to hear from Penn in the 7 o'clock hour. Again, apologies for last week and the technical issues that we had, but we are up and running this week, and hopefully you have had a good week and having a wonderful weekend. We got some news this past week that a Hall of Famer, an NFL Hall of Famer, is possibly going to take over a job. You know, when I heard it, all I could think about was Sweetness. All I could think about was Walter Payton. And didn't see that as a landing spot for his first possible job. But we know how he is on the high school level. But Deion Sanders was offered. Has he been offered, or is it just being reported that he's in the mix?
They from different things. You read social media. Some people say he has the job. Some people say they're finalizing a deal for the job. And that's where I think I've seen more, that they're finalizing. I'll believe it when I see a press conference with him sitting up there with a hat on, you know. But to me, it's an amazing story if this is where he wants to get into being a college head coach. We've talked about things when we had Whitehead with us doing Stomp the Yard, the things that are happening with HBCUs. This would be so big for Deion Sanders to be there. Would he attract some players to come to Jackson State? Yes.
Absolutely.
Would he make some people watch what he's doing at Jackson State? Absolutely. And he'll pull some big-time players down there. Not saying he's going to all of a sudden have a ton of five stars down there, but he will get some kids with four stars and say, look, if you come here, I'm going to get you ready for the league. And it will dispel a myth that's out there that you have to go to a certain type school in a certain conference in order to be scouted by the National Football League. If Deion Sanders is coaching that team, the scouts will come down there and check out his talent. So, I mean, to me, I think that's what he wants to do. And if he takes the job, he won't be there long term, I don't think, but he'll be there long enough to get a class through. That's my thought about it. So I'm excited about the possibility of it.
Absolutely. Just to watch that, what's going on down there in the SWAC. A, he's going to have plenty of time because they've already canceled their fall season. So they're not going to be playing. He's still at it. He's still coaching his kids' high school team. He's the offensive coordinator with Trinity Christian. It's a long name.
They were on TV several weeks ago. Yeah. Yep. He's working with that team.
And everybody knows that Deion has been coaching. His love has been coaching youth football for years. So I see this. Listen, everybody's got a second and third act, okay? And Deion's conquered the first two. He made it to the Hall of Fame as a player. He became one of the top TV analysts for the NFL, right? So what's next? So for him to ascend in the coaching world, I would not be surprised. Now, I think you disagree with me with this, but I think this is step number one. Because one of the things you could never say about Deion was his question was his work ethic. So he's going through the motions that most coaches go through that have ascended to the pro level. There's a few exceptions, some all-time greats that got a job and they skipped ahead of some others. But I think that he is, if he takes this job, if this is a stepping stone to end up someplace, I think that he'll eventually end up at Florida State. And could you imagine Deion Sanders?
No way.
Okay,
no way.
Again, we'll see. We will
see. If he had interest in Florida State or anything in Florida, he would have already been there.
But why not?
I just think he has no interest at all.
Well, see, I disagree because if he – yes, he could have. Yes, he could have. Yes. To say to your point, he could have. But why not go back and build – you know, get your infrastructure.
Too confining.
How do you know that?
The pressure of coach at Florida State?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
his
me?
His alma mater. You got to look at it that way.
Too confining. He knows that. And plus right now – the way things have been at Florida State, the people down there still love him. He goes down there and flops.
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm saying he would go. That's why I'm saying he would go. He can't go to the pros.
To my knowledge, he seldom goes back to campus. He really does. To my knowledge, he seldom goes back to Florida State. I think being in Mississippi, being at Jackson State, he'll have the kind of flexibility that he would want to do. I mean, and to me, he's also doing something that they're not going to make him rich there.
No, you know, he don't
he's
need
not
the money.
Be wealthy, he ain't gonna.
But
get,
he wants
he's
to be a champion.
There,
we know he wants to be the best at what
he
does.
Wants to prove
right?
A point. I think he wants to prove a point too, though.
I think
he wants to prove a point.
You can't do one without the other.
Yes, you can. I mean, I can go there and win ball games and be a part of that conference. This is a tremendous time for that conference. If you think about what they're doing, they're adding Florida A&M. They're adding Bethune-Cookman. And, you know, they're becoming that super conference that people are going to watch for HBCU because Grambling's already there. Southern's already there. Jackson State has a great program that has been down for some years. Yes, you mentioned Walter Payton, the great Walter Payton who played there many years ago. Jackson State now, because, and this is great for them, they don't have an on-campus stadium. They play at a municipal stadium down at Jet. They've been talking about building their own stadium for the longest time. Now, if he goes down there and gets some excitement in that community with that team and they break ground on a stadium, that's a big thing. That's a victory. That'll be part of his legacy there, whether he stays 5 years or stays 50. So much more there than at Florida. Florida State is a hot mess down there. They lost to Georgia Tech last week, and this week the coach got coronavirus.
All right, so, Ken, hit the music. Hit the music, Ken. He's on the roll.
Saying, you know,
I got you. We're not going to go back and we're going to revisit this. We got to go.
We want to hear from the listeners, too.
Yeah.
What you think about Deion Sanders at Jackson State? Will it work? 404-741-0929. Our text is on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Prime time in Jackson, Mississippi. Can it work?
Take us out.
And we do that. All right. Coming up next, we're going to NBA playoffs. What happened in the bubble? And Chris Marler will join us at 7:20 and talking college football and more as we continue in the next hour. Sam and Greg on a game day Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 and 92.9thegame.com. We're available for all your smart speakers on radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.